Hallelujah. If you've got your Bible, I want you to hold it. Oh, it's a cell phone Bible. All right. Hold it and say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Come on now, let's repeat that. I am what it says I am. Amen. That's it. You are what the Word says. Not what Mama said, not what Papa said. All right, let's go straight into the Word. So let's start again by reading our anchor scripture from last week. Those of you who were there last week, we started talking about prayer. Okay, we started talking about prayer. So if you can give me Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. The Bible says, and I say to you, I'm sure now you know that. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Why? For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Hallelujah. And I say to you, we camped there for the whole 55 minutes last week. Now this morning we are continuing on the matter concerning prayer. And I want to talk to you again on a call to pray. Today is part B, a call to pray. And I want to say to you, I'm not in a rush. We want to take our time until this thing sinks into our spirit, man, until we feel it, until we know that prayer is mandatory. In the life of a believer. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, last week we discovered that prayer shapes the atmosphere in the life of a believer. When you pray, you are determining the temperature around you. You are determining what should happen as you go out of your house. That is what prayer does. Prayer changes things. And I want to start off by posing a question that I asked last week in my teaching. Last week we said, why does God prompt man to pray? Why does God prompt man to pray? Maybe, let me say it this way. Why does mothers ask their children to make their beds in the morning? Why do mothers say that? Did you make your bed? It is because it sets you up for the day. If you make your bed and the day doesn't go so well, you come back into a neat bedroom. It just changes things. And there must be a reason why God is prompting you and I to pray. And to answer that question, last week we learned that God prompts us to pray because, number one, the authority of Jesus guarantees success in prayer. Jesus' authority, where he said, I say to you, pray. Luke 11 verse 9, we learned that there is authority that was speaking to you, that is speaking to us right now, saying, I say to you, pray, because I was there before you were created. I say pray because I know what prayer does in the life of a believer. And therefore we said it is important that as believers we pay attention when the Lord speaks. And the Lord has been saying to us, pray. Now this morning, I want to give you the second reason why God prompts you and I to pray. Now the reason for these two messages, last week's and this week's, is to stir your heart up. To come to a place where you're saying, I need to pray. And then for you to start asking, how do I pray? So that next week onwards, we start dealing with the principles of prayer. How do we engage in what we call prevailing prayer? But there must be a reason. And this morning, we want to give you the second reason of why God prompts you and I to pray. Let's read that scripture again. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now, after Jesus asserted his authority by telling people what they need to do, and was saying, I'm saying to you, this you have to do in your life, Jesus goes on to give a promise. After asserting his authority, and we said he is the most qualified person to ask us to pray, after asserting his authority, he gave a promise. That promise settles the question of whether your prayers will have an impact or not. And my purpose this morning is to sway you to trust prayer again. My purpose this morning is to say to you, try prayer again. And Jesus gives a promise. And that promise settles the question of the success of prayer. Now put this down. The value or the weight of a promise is determined by the character of the person making the promise. You know, it doesn't matter how elaborate a promise is. If that person has no capacity to deliver, that promise is good for nothing. And this morning I want you to know that the character of God guarantees success in prayer. And that is the second point. The character of God guarantees the success of prayer. Amen. We are not dealing with somebody who promises and not able to deliver. Right. Do you know that we've got so many people who've got good intentions but do not have the ability to follow through their intentions? We all have good intentions in terms of doing things for God, but we don't follow through. But that's not the type of God we serve. I want you to realize that before us, we have an assurance to receive an answer to every type of prayer. Now, Jesus gives us a lineup of different types of prayers. I don't know if you realize it. Let's go through these types of prayer. There is a type of prayer that is an asking prayer. The asking type of prayer, it is a simple and direct to the point. It is a prayer that you don't spend too much time into, but it is still a prayer. And the Lord Jesus says, if you ask, you will receive. Amen. You know, prayer does not have to be complicated. So many times I did not even say to myself, now I am praying, and yet I was praying. And Jesus is saying that type of prayer will be answered by heaven. Heaven will not say that prayer is too simplistic. You know, us in the charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches, we like loud prayers. We like elaborate prayers. Unless the decibels go up to 70, we don't feel like we have prayed. Come on now. I'm a culprit to that. You know what I mean? Just stand beside outside my door. Then you'll know there's a charismatic praying inside there. But it doesn't make my prayer more powerful than another prayer that is made in the silence of somebody's heart. Jesus said, ask. That's an asking type of prayer. I was talking to somebody that we were having breakfast with. And he was saying, we went home, and as we were having meal, Mama started praying a very simple prayer. But that prayer was powerful and profound. Mama was not spitting. Mama was not screaming. But Mama's prayer was powerful. Hallelujah. Child of God, don't judge the cover book by its cover. You see your pastor pacing up and down and you think, ooh, that man is powerful. It's all shows. Come on now. Don't give me show. Let's pray. Amen. And Jesus is saying, it's okay to be simple in prayer. You don't need the King James Version type of prayer. Unto thee, O God, do I pray. Well, is that how you talk normally? How art thou, my wife? Come on now. Prayer is conversation with your father. Can you imagine me talking to my wife down there in the aisles of Checkers or Fushini? I'm like, hey, my wife, how you doing, man? It has been a long time. We haven't touched base. Everybody would look at you in shock. But we find it's okay with God. It's okay if that makes you feel connected with God. But if another person sits by themselves in their quiet before God, that's still okay. The point is, are you touching heaven? When you touch heaven, heaven will come down and touch your condition. Glory be to God. So there is a asking type of prayer. And there is a seeking type of prayer. This is a persistent prayer. This is a thorough prayer. This is a prayer that says, I won't let you go until you bless me. This is a prayer that turns tables around. This is a prayer that says, I'm going to hold on to this until something changes. You know when they call pushing in prayer? Pray until something happens. There's a seeking type of prayer. And today I want you to know, Jesus said that type of prayer will be answered as well. Amen. Do you know that there's some, well, my child, one of my kids, very persistent. Very persistent. If you don't listen, he becomes like that drop of water. Until you say, go watch TV. Just go. Just go. Just go watch TV for 30 minutes. He's done. He comes. Okay, just go. Just go. Come on now. Are you like that in heaven where heaven says, we have to do something about this? Hallelujah. That seeking type of prayer heaven will hear. And then there is a knocking type of prayer. There is a violent type of prayer. There is a prayer that says, unless God comes, I'm going to die. Come on now. This is a desperate and demanding prayer. This is a prayer that asks no permission from nobody to pray. This is a prayer where you'll tell the pastor, give me the church keys. I'm going to sleep in church in prayer until something happens. Hallelujah. Knock, knock, knock on the heavenly doors. How many of us do that? And Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter how you approach heaven. Heaven will hear. Amen. Heaven will answer. Glory be to God. Amen. So whenever you engage in prayer, regardless of what type of prayer, there is a promise at the end of the prayer. Each type of prayer will be answered. When we engage all three types of prayers, we will receive a combined answer to our prayers. Glory be to God. That is when the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Amen. The Apostle Paul understood what prayer is all about. Amen. And after he had given us a narrative of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 going downwards, he says, put on the whole armor of God. He says, you can have the whole armor of God. If you don't pray, your armor might not work. And then he says, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. And he says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Listen to me. A believer ought to pray always for all situations. A believer ought to use prayer as his natural default. Put this down. When facing any situation, prayer ought to be a natural default for a believer. Amen. Whatever you're facing, you've got to use prayer as your default. And the Apostle Paul has just told us, pray with all manner of prayers. Pray for all situations. And I want to ask you a question. Is there a situation in your life that you haven't prayed about? When facing any situation, prayer ought to be a natural default for a believer. You see, it doesn't matter how qualified you are in applying for a job. It doesn't matter how well you have studied when you're about to approach an exam. It doesn't matter how many lessons you have taken before going in for your driver's test. You ought to pray. You ought to pray. It doesn't matter how sure you are about your investment. You ought to pray for every financial decision you are about to take. You can be a CA in the house. You can be a seasoned business person. You ought to pray. Do you know why I'm saying that? In Proverbs 21, verse 31, the Bible says, a horse is prepared for war. A horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory comes from the Lord. You might have started. You know your stuff. You know your calculus. You know your mechanics. But when it comes to victory, it's not about how well prepared you are. It's about the one who is with you. Hallelujah. It's about the one who is walking with you. When you are walking with God, because prayer invites God in your affairs, you are guaranteed of an end result. And this morning, I want to challenge the church to become desperate for God. Amen. To say, unless you come, I am not enough. Amen. These are not just songs we sing. These are prayers to the Lord. Where you wake up in the morning, you say, I have driven this path so many times. I even know how long it takes me from here to the next intersection. You still need God to be safe. I need God to be safe. If you think about it, it is easier to worry and to be anxious about stuff than it is to pray about the stuff. It is easier to lose sleep thinking and thinking and thinking about tomorrow. And I want you to know that everything that you are worrying about is meant to be an opportunity for prayer. Anything that you are anxious about, it's meant to be a prayer request. Whenever you feel anxiety rising up in your spirit, man, it's an indication and a message from heaven that it's time to commune. It's time to talk. Philippians 4, verse 6. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. Don't be pulled in different directions. Have you ever seen people who are being pulled in different directions, unable to make up their mind, not so sure whether they should say yay or nay? But here the Bible says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. Other version says, let your requests be known unto God. It says here, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Amen. Tell the Father every detail about your life. We need to demystify the interest of God over your life. God is interested in everything that touches you, whether small or great. And this morning, the Apostle Paul is saying to us, do not be thrown to and fro. Do not be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about stuff that you cannot control. When you pray about something, that is how you gain control over your situations. The more you worry about something, the more you lose control of it. But the more you pray about something, the more you are in control of the situation. You are in control not because you are able, you are in control because you have handed it over to the one who has ability to control. God is able to control that situation. Listen to me. Prayer places a demand on the character and the nature of God to be revealed in your situation. Amen. Remember, we said here that one of the reasons why God is prompting you to pray, it is because the character of God guarantees success. So when you pray, you are putting a demand on the character of God. You are saying, you said it, therefore do it. There is a character of God that comes up when we pray. And I want to ask you a question this morning. When you think of prayer, what character of God comes to mind? Whenever you are about to pray, what character of God comes to mind? And I'm telling you this morning that when you spend good enough time contemplating, meditating on the nature and the character of God, you will pray. Because of who He is. So the one character we are hanging on this morning is this: God is faithful in keeping His promises to man. Come on now. God is faithful in keeping His promises to man. And this morning I want you to know, God is not about to start with you to become unfaithful when it comes to your prayers. God is not about to start with this church to become unfaithful in not answering our prayers. Yes, let's go to the popular scripture in Numbers 23, verse 19. We need to walk slowly through the corridors of scripture. You will know by now. You know this scripture. But have you meditated on it? Have you uttered and muttered until it made sense to you? So read it with me this morning. You've heard it from kindergarten, from Sunday school. But what does it mean? The Bible says, God is not human that He should lie. It means humans lie. Unfortunately, we spent a lot of times with humans. When you spend a lot of times with somebody who does things in a certain way, without knowing it, you expect that from every other person. When you spend enough time with people who are not truthful, you will find it difficult to think another person is different. But now God is saying, God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? What type of God do you serve? Is your God like humans? But the God I've grown to know, He is the God of the Bible. And we are being told today that He is not like humans. He is not like man. And therefore you can count on Him. If He says it, He will do it. Glory be to God. One of the reasons why people have stopped praying is because they have faced a lot of disappointments in their lives. They have faced a lot of promises that have become unfulfilled. Some of you here remember when Papa promised to buy shoes and He never brought shoes home. And that has become a picture in your heart. But this morning we are talking about God who is different. I understand the pain you've been through. I understand that some of you have been waiting for years for answers. I understand that some of you are now rationalizing a lack of answers in your lives. And you're saying, well, you know, maybe it's not the will of God for me. I fully get you. But that's no reason for us not to continue trusting in the character of God. You see, when you look at the things that happen in our lives, if we start looking at them through the eyes of man, it is very easy for us to start questioning the character of God. You will start saying to yourself, I prayed, but he still died. Come on now. I prayed, but the sickness is still there. Does that stop God from being God? If God becomes God because of what he does, then we serve a very small God. This morning I want you to know that God is still God regardless of what is happening in our lives. That's another dimension of Christianity. You know, we come across different teachings. And you find that some teachings will just tell you, receive, receive, it's yours. Take it, frame it, own it. And when you don't own it, you disown God. Come on now, let's talk about it. You know, when I start looking at the Bible, there are some things that have started changing in my view to life. I look at the life of the apostles, how they lived their lives. The apostle Paul will tell you how many times he has been lashed. He tells you how many times he was imprisoned. He tells you how many times he's been beaten up. He tells you how many times he even faced death, imminent death. And yet he says, that I might know him. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. What gospel are we taught? I'm talking about a God who was prepared to let go his son to die on the cross. This morning I want you to realize we need to have a paradigm shift. All we need to realize is that we can trust God because in him there's no evil. Regardless of what's happening in our lives, that is why we've got to keep on praying until things happen in our lives. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of the heavenly lights, with whom there is no change or shifting shadow. Whatever is happening in your life, the end result is all things will work out together for your good. We need to realize this morning that it doesn't matter where you are right now, keep on praying, keep on believing, because ultimately all things will work out together for your good. Does somebody hear me this morning? That is why this morning you and I need to have a paradigm shift in the essence of prayer. Because you see, when you look at prayer, we've got to start looking at it differently. And what is this paradigm shift? Prayer is more about fellowship with God than it is about receiving immediate answers. Pastor, that word is not very popular. Yes, ask and you shall receive. But I want you to know that the essence of prayer is more about fellowshipping with God than it is receiving answers and tokens of appreciation. Do you know that God wants more of you? When we pray, we are spending more time with God. When we spend more time with God, we become more like God. And when we become more like God, we can act like God wherever we are. And that can only happen when you are in fellowship with God. Come on now. Does somebody hear me this morning? I'm talking about prayer. I'm sorry, I'm not standing here trying to say to you, the moment you say yes to Jesus, your life is just going to be hunky-dory, roses all the way. No. The Bible tells us in John 16:33, in this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hello? That is why we can sing songs like, this world is not my home. This world is not my home. When you pray, when you spend time in the presence of God, it prepares you for the afterlife. Glory be to God. Now, I want you to realize that the faithful character of God is printed right across the scriptures. Look at John 16, verse 23. The Bible says, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I like this scripture, because everything I need is covered here. It says whatever. You know, when you go into the Greek, whatever means whatever. You go into any language, whatever means whatever. That is why we need to approach the throne of grace with boldness, because we will receive whatever we ask. Glory be to God. Now it is up to you and I to take the character of Jesus with some reservations, or to fully trust in the faithfulness of God. Now this morning I want you to realize that the key to engaging prevailing prayer is to regain your trust in the character of God. If you are to engage prayer, I'm talking about prevailing prayer, we need to regain our trust in the character and the nature of God. I'm done with that leather jacket now. Now you know I've got one. So I'm talking about regaining the trust. And I just sense that a lot of us here today need to regain trust in the character of God. Amen. He is still a good God. He is a faithful God. He is Yahweh. He is the Almighty God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we can ask or even imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Ephesians 3:20. He's able. Glory be to God. Psalms 84 verse 11. The Bible says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory." No, it's coming. Look at this. "The Lord gives grace and glory, and he withholds no good thing from those who walk with integrity." Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. The Lord God will withhold nothing good from those who walk with integrity. Lord, blessed are those who trust in you. How much do you trust God? Don't trust me. I will fail you. But trust the one who says, "I will not leave you. I will never forsake you." Glory be to God. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says, "A suckling mother might forget a suckling baby, but as for me, I will not forget you." That says the Lord. And that is a faith building place for us to engage prayer again with much fervency. You know, every man and woman who ever did exploits in the kingdom of God, we're all people of prayer. If we are to be used by God in a mighty way, we need to be a people of prayer. You see, God was faithful to answer their prayers, and he will remain faithful in our day. He remains faithful in my life. He remains faithful for my family, and he will do it for us. Glory be to God. Let me remind you of the faithfulness of God, of the character of God regarding the answering of prayers, so that you and I, as we walk out of this place, we can go back to our knees. We can pray again and trust him to come through for us. Right from the beginning, Abraham was a man of prayer. Glory be to God. Abraham was a man of prayer. And you find that from time to time, God would come down and commune with Abraham. When you look at Genesis 18, we know the story where God came down. Three angels visited Abraham, and one of them was God. And God was there communing with Abraham. And we see Abraham interceding and praying for the deliverance of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this morning I want you to know that God wants us to be in communion with Him. He did it then with Abraham. He would do it with you. Talk about Jacob. Jacob was a man of prayer. Jacob wrestled with God in a place called Peniel. He called it Peniel because he said, I saw the face of God. Jacob wrestled with God. In Genesis 32, from verse 22 to 32, how many of us are prepared to wrestle with God in prayer? How many of us are prepared to engage God with such fervency? When Jacob spent time with God that whole night, when he left that time of prayer, he was a changed man. The angel broke his hip and his walk was changed. Saints, if our characters are to be changed, they can only be changed in prayer. The self-help mechanisms, you can read as many books as you want. You can read the 7 habits of highly effective people. You can read, it doesn't matter how many books you read, as long as you don't have an encounter with God in prayer, your character will remain flawed. Jacob was broken in the times of prayer. Jacob was afraid to meet his brother. But after he had prayed, the God he had prayed to was the God of Esau. God went ahead of Jacob and changed the heart of Esau. By the time they met, they hugged, they laughed on each other. And yet Jacob thought, this is my last day here on earth. Saints, before you encounter man, you need to encounter the God of the man. Because the God of the man has the man's heart in his hands. He knows how to change the hearts of men for you. Jacob was a man of prayer. Let's talk about Hannah. The Lord heard the prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah was without child. Hannah was barren. But Hannah was faithful going into the house of the Lord. Saints, even if you are barren, remain faithful in prayer. Because it is only in faithfulness, in our praying to God, that our barrenness is broken. Hannah could have said, I'm not going up to the temple. But Hannah said, I might have no child. My only solution is found in the temple. Glory be to God. Hannah prayed and Samuel came. Samuel was one of the greatest prophets of all time. Why? Because he was born out of prayer. He was born out of prayer. Is there barrenness in your life? Spiritual barrenness? Physical barrenness? Take it down in prayer. Amen. Hannah prayed and Samuel came through. Glory be to God. Let's talk about Elijah the prophet. Elijah was a man of like passions, like all of us. And yet when Elijah prayed and he said, there will be no rain unless I say so. And the Bible says the heavens were shut and there was no rain for 3.5 years. The choice is mine to think these are just fairy tales. These things are just stories. But the Bible tells us in the book of James that Elijah was a man of like passions. And when he prayed, it did not rain. And he prayed again, and it rained. And the Bible says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Glory be to God. There is power in your prayers. So there wasn't anything special about Elijah. He was emotional like us. He was weak like us. And yet when he prayed, something happened. The same Elijah, when he was on Mount Carmel, facing this abomination that was going on. And there he was in front of Ahab and the prophets of Baal. And he says, let the true God answer by fire. Elijah waited for them. I want you to know that when you pray to a false God, you will get no answers. It doesn't matter what stance you pulled. Those people cut themselves. Those people were beating themselves up, hoping that their God would hear. And Elijah was mocking them. Shout even louder. Maybe your God is asleep. Shout so that he can wake up. There was no answer, dololo, unto Elijah. The God of Elijah answered by fire. This morning I want you to know, when we pray, the fire of the Holy Spirit comes down. The fire of the Holy Ghost comes down and he purges away every sickness, every sin of our lives. We experience the refiner's fire when we pray. And that's what Elijah did. Gone with Elijah, Elisha came on the scene. Do you know that Elisha did double the miracles of Elijah? Why was Elisha able to do double the miracles of Elijah? It is because he prayed and says, my Lord, I want a double portion of your anointing. And Elijah said, that's a difficult thing that you've asked for. But if you see me when I depart, it will be so. One day Elisha heard there was a mother with a child. And this child was a miracle child. And the child died, the Shunammite woman's child. The baby died. And Elisha was called. Elisha laid down on the child. The Bible says mouth to mouth, hand to hand, feet to feet. And the child came back to life. What's happening here? Elisha was a man of prayer. Do you know that before Elisha went, he had sent his servant to go and do the thing, but it did not work. I want you to know that the anointing is expensive. You've got to spend in time in the presence of God for you to get that anointing over your life. It cannot be passed on by osmosis or diffusion. You've got to tarry in the presence of God, and the anointing of Jesus falls over your life, and dead situations cannot stand in the presence of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When the church is anointed by God, dead people spiritually will walk into that church and they leave saying, what shall I do? After hearing that word, what shall I do? What am I going to do? And they will be saved. That is what happens when the church prays. And I'm saying, join us on Friday. Friday we will be here calling upon the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. You might think it was just an Old Testament phenomenon. The New Testament prayers are full of power. You see the glory of God walking through the disciples, walking through the apostles. One of those times I'm reminded of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. The Bible says Cornelius was a God-fearing man, but he was not born again. Cornelius was a man of prayer. And an angel came down in this time of prayer and he saw a vision and God spoke and said, your prayers and your alms have come before me as a memorial. It is time for you to be saved. Peter came and the whole household of Cornelius was saved. What is the story here? The power of prayer. The power of prayer. There's a story in the book of Acts chapter 12. Peter was incarcerated and he was in prison. I'm stirring up your faith for you to try prayer again. And the church was praying for Peter. They prayed for Peter when he was in prison. And the Bible said an angel came and broke him out of prison. Talk about Prison Break. You know that series? Prison Break. I'm dating myself now. It's an old series, but a powerful one. Prison Break. An angel came down and said, Peter, slept him, wake up and let's go. What was happening here? The power of prayer. The power of prayer. Jesus, our greatest example of prayer, was constantly in prayer. If Jesus prayed, remember Jesus was fully God when on earth. And yet, he wanted to spend time with his Father. in prayer. How much more us? I want you to know that Jesus prayed in every occasion. Every milestone in the life of Jesus, you'd hear him. Jesus was praying. Do you know that when he was baptized, the Bible says, as he was praying, coming out of the water, you'll find that in Luke chapter 3, verse 21. As he was praying, the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove. What was just Jesus doing? Connecting with the Father. When Jesus was about to choose his 12 elect, the Bible says that night, he spent the whole night in prayer. Somebody has proposed to you, but you don't even think of praying about it. Whether this guy is for real. Come on now. All the singletons around here, you got to pray. When you pray, the Lord will reveal things to you. And I want you to know that the Lord Jesus spent the whole night praying to know whether these are the guys or not. And I want you to know Jesus knew that one of them was going to betray him. But he needed Judas in his life. When you pray, it doesn't matter how the setup works out. All things work together for your good. Hallelujah. The Bible says he chose the 12. He knew that one of them was going to betray him. And that was what was meant to happen for scriptures to be fulfilled. Judas was in the destiny of God. Power of prayer. At the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible says, as Jesus was praying, there was John, Peter, and James. They were all praying and looking, and Jesus was praying. I don't know how he was praying, but the Bible says, suddenly his body was transfigured. What was going on here? He touched heaven. The glory came. When you pray, the glory comes. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of the glory of Moses. Moses would spend 40 days and 40 nights up in Mount Sinai. And the Bible says the glory of God was upon him and his face was shining. As he was coming down that mountain, people could not look at him because of the glory. You want the glory? 40 days, 40 nights in prayer. This morning, what's the crux of the matter? God does nothing except in response to prayer. It comes down to that. God does nothing except in response to prayer. James 4 verse 2, that's the last scripture we're going to read, and we call it a day. You desire, but you do not have. Are you there? You desire, but you do not have. Why? Because you haven't asked. The Apostle James says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. These scriptures really paint the picture of humanity. The root of the majority of our sins is the lack of kingdom results. People kill in order to get what they don't have. People quarrel and fight for what is not theirs. What is the issue here? You ask why the family is in a chaotic state. The answer is that you have not prayed. You ask why things are forever tough at work. The answer is that you have not prayed. You ask why the power of God is absent in the church. The answer is that you have not prayed. You ask why you feel lonely and defeated. The answer is that you have not prayed. You ask why money seems to fly away. The answer is you have not prayed. So Jesus says, I say to you, ask and you receive. Ask and you receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Talk to the Lord right now.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
We're coming back, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray this morning for your children. I pray that would go back to that heart of worship, heart of prayer. Lord, we repent where we have neglected prayer in our lives. We pray for grace. We pray for revival. We pray for an awakening in our hearts for us to go back to that place of prayer this morning. Forgive us, oh God, where we have doubted prayer, where we have neglected prayer. We pray this morning that you'd strengthen us. I pray for the spirit of grace and supplication upon each one of your children. The spirit of grace and supplication upon our lives. Father, we commit this week into your hands. Would you continue speaking to us, Lord? We give you praise and give you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody say, come on now, let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning.